We have in person and we have on Zoom. So wonderful to be able to greet everybody at the top of the week and to learn together, our Monday morning learning together. Our learning, I think it's appropriate and fitting if we make it L'Zecha Nishmas, in loving memory of those who perished in the tragedy in Meron. They lost their lives. Our learning should be as Chos Amerit for their neshamas, for their souls, and it should be for the Refuah Shalema of those who need a speedy recovery, both in the sense of Refuah Sanefesh, as well as, of course, Refuah Saguf. And the merit of our learning together, it should be as Chos for everybody and for all. Okay. Can everybody hear me okay? Got one thumbs up. Awesome. Great. All right. Dr. Seinfeld, you can hear me okay? All right. Today's class that we're going to learn, the topic is it's a fascinating concept as it relates to just trying to determine, to decipher the pecking order of how mitzvos are thought of and how we engage and make choices. The overarching theme, of course, the Gemara tells us, and the key concept in halacha is osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. What does that mean? That means that when a person's engaged in a mitzvah, when you're involved in doing something, a mitzvah, it has to be a mitzvah. So we know that it's sometimes rare, that it's efshar l'kayim shneihem. It's unusual that it's possible for us to accomplish two things at one time. As we say, it's e efshar l'kayim shneihem. You can't be in two places at once. And suffice that to say that there are two different things that present themselves as mitzvahs that you have to do at the same time in the sense of your obligation, but functionally just can't do two things at the same time. So the question is, what comes first? So when it's possible to do two things, so then you put the algorithm of tadr v'shein or tadr kodem, which we've discussed that concept many, many times. That which is frequent trumps that which is not frequent. But we have another concept, which is when you're osik in a mitzvah, you're putter from another mitzvah, which means it's just not possible for you to do two things. And if you're going to be able to get to it, the second mitzvah after doing the first one, so good. And if not, then it means if you never ever get to it, so then, okay, it's not that you've violated, or it's not even that you've missed an opportunity. It means you just weren't obligated. It means you're putter, you're exempt. Sometimes people look at the word and think of the word putter is, it's putter, the Gemara says, it's putter of al usr. It's putter, I'm exempt, but I still want to do it. So the question is, how zealous does the person want to be? And one of the classic examples, of course, is Sfiras HaOmer. We know that because Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah aseh shehaz magrama, it's a positive time bound mitzvah, we know that apidin, women are putter from mitzvah aseh shehaz magrama. They're putter. Same word. So if they're putter, so then maybe that should mean that they should never do it. And the answer is, or maybe does it mean putter means that I really am not obligated, but if I can get it, if I can do it, if I can pull it together and do it for whatever the constriction, whatever the restraint is, so then I should do it. So in the case of how the Mishnah Berurah explains how a woman who is otherwise exempt, in the case of Sfiras HaOmer, is the concept of Omid Al Gaba, which means assuming that there's someone who takes responsibility, in the case of Mishnah Berurah says is a husband, a spouse, or another person that would help facilitate the fulfillment of that mitzvah. I remember I had a roommate when I was in YU. He had a pillowcase, which was the Sfiras HaOmer, had all the count of every single day on his pillowcase. And he put his head on the pillow, and that would be his greatest reminder. So now, sometimes I find that the women are reminding the men, even though the men come to shul and they remember. Who's to say that one's going to remember more than another person? But the concept of putter is a very interesting word. You're not obligated. So does not obligated mean, okay, you're not obligated, that means I shouldn't do it, I shouldn't try. Or maybe putter means that I'm putter, but if I can pull it off, then I should pull it off. What does it mean? So if it's osek b'mitzvah, putter min ha-mitzvah, does that mean I'm involved in a mitzvah? But you know what? There's some people that they're just multitaskers. They're just able to get multiple things done. So I'm able to do one thing, I'm able to do another thing. Does it mean that when I'm involved in doing one thing, does that mean that it's just that it's functionally not possible in the world of fulfillment in its truest sense? Meaning we know that the Gemara likewise tells us that mitzvos tzrichos kavanah, it's a famous dispute in the Gemara, whether or not when I do a mitzvah, do I have an obligation to likewise have credit assumed for having the right kavanah? Like I'm doing something, I have to be present, I have to know what I'm thinking, I have to know what I'm doing. So does it mean that it's moneya the kavanah that's necessary to do a mitzvah if I'm doing something else? Does Chazal understand with its infinite wisdom that when we say osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, just means, number one, either I can't be on the West Coast and the East Coast at the same time, functionally I can't do it. Or does it even mean that if I'm able to be on the West Coast and both of the mitzvah opportunities are on the West Coast, for example, and two opportunities are available, but I'm obviously going to minimize the fulfillment of both of them because of the concept of tafasta maruba lo tafasta. Maybe that means if I take on more than I can, or maybe than I should, then I've tafasta maruba lo tafasta. I've taken on a lot of things, but I've taken nothing, right? So what does it mean? How do we understand what the concept is? And this is like a general theme. Is it oseg b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, and therefore really you should just, okay, you should just assume that you're not obligated and therefore not even try? Or if you're a multitasking, able-bodied person, so you should try. And if you're able to do it, good. Are you rolling the dice? And if you're going to do it, then it's going to take away from the first primary mitzvah, or maybe it's going to take away from both mitzvahs because of the concept of tefasta, merubah lo tefasta. I've taken a lot of things, and at the end of the day, I've taken nothing. What do you think? Comments, thoughts? So far, so good? Okay. So the case we're going to discuss this morning is the following. It's in Simin Hay in Shulchan Aruch, and the case is as follows. For those of you on Zoom, I hope you got the source material. So Reuven, the fellow, is noeg lakum hashkein baboker kedei lispelel tefilas kivasikin. There's a fellow, he gets up early and he wants to daven netzacham. He wants to get up to daven shachris very, very early. And we know that lechatchila b'dieved. What's lechatchila? The best practice, mitzvah min hamufchar, the ideal way for a person to do a mitzvah. And in the world of davening shachris, the best time for a person to daven shachris is vasikin. We know that changes every day, even by just a few seconds. And certainly it changes by the minutes. So therefore, that being the case, so when you daven either before vasikin, which is sunrise, which is from Amud HaShachar, from halachic dawn until sunrise, or from after sunrise until the sofsman tefillah, sofsman kriyashma, the before and the after are bidyeved, are not ideal. Not as ideal, let's just say it that way. It's obviously better than not doing davening at all, right? But vasikin is the best. Before or after is not as good. It's not the best. Okay, but when you get into where there's going to be a minyan and you get into where you're traveling, there's a lot of different parts of how that applies. Although I will say, the Mishnah Berurah does say that, let's just say, for example, you know, if you were, you know, you were habituated to daven vasikin every single day, it's a discussion in the poskim whether or not you're really obligated to daven tefillah b'tzibur. Is it better for a person to daven tefillah b'tzibur, to daven with the congregation later, not vasikin, or to daven vasikin, even if it means you're going to daven b'yichidus? Are you giving, what's a greater milah? What's a betterment? Is it better to daven vasikin in the best way? Or is it better to daven tefillah b'tzibur? And these are part of the algorithms of consideration that we have to figure out. Like what it has a difus, as we say. What's better? What's considered, you know, primary? Okay, these are just interesting cases to just discuss. But suffice it to say that if you were a regular, a davening vasikin, and for whatever the reason, you're traveling, and there was no minyan, or even if there was a minyan, chose to daven vasikin in your hotel room, that's considered, according to Mr. Burr, okay, because you're a person who's habituated to daven vasik, and that's considered ideal, okay? So here's a fellow, Reuven. He gets up early, his custom is to daven early in the morning, and he likes to daven shachris kevasikin, imanei tzacham, with the sun's rise. V'hine be'echad ha'pa'amim, one time, kishi yotza me'abayis, and he's leaving his house, v'ratza l'nashek es ha'mezuzah, and he wants to kiss the mezuzah as he is customary to do. Now, is there a mitzvah to kiss the mezuzah? Now, seminary girls and boys from yeshiva come back after the year in Israel. I find that they're big mezuzah kissers. They're doing a lot of kissing. They're like stopping and they're going. And sometimes it's a little bit OCD. Like they miss that mezuzah. They come back. They kiss the mezuzah, going again. And I didn't have kavanah when I kissed the mezuzah. Is there a mitzvah to kiss the mezuzah? So the answer is, of course, there's not a mitzvah to kiss a mezuzah, right? There's not a mitzvah to kiss a mezuzah. Is there a mitzvah to kiss a sefer Torah? Is there a mitzvah to kiss your tzitzis? The answer is not a mitzvah, but there's something called, in the Otzah Taim Mehamin Hagam, he explains something called chavivus. What's chavivus? It shows what you love. It shows that it's cherished and beloved to you. So one of the ways we want to show chavivus ha-mitzvahs is we kiss the sefer Torah. We kiss the mezuzah. We kiss our tzitzis. And one of the examples that in Hilchos Shabbos that we have chavivus, for example, is when you make Kiddush Friday night, Shabbos day, it's an unusual example, but the Otzah Taim Mehamin Hagam explains that when you make Kiddush Friday night, Shabbos day, you finish the kos, you finish the cup with the grape juice of the wine in it, and now you finished the cup. But there's a ring around the bottom of the cup of the kos, which has the remnant of the Kiddush wine grape juice, which you wouldn't even think about. It's the Psyllus. It's like done, finished. The cup is over. Only my kids are like pouring it, hitting the bottom of it to make sure like every last, you know, drop. It's like my kids have taken that Maxwell House concept. The best part of waking up is the Maxwell House. Who knows? We get the point. The drop in your cup. So the minhag, time hamanhagim says, you know what you should do to show chavivas hamitzvah? You pour a little bit of water in and you swish it around and then you pour that last little bit so that you're like, almost like you're cleaning it. There's no remnant. There's nothing left of the kiddush. No grape juice, no wine that's left because I want to ingest. I want to drink even the kiddush cup in its fullest. And even if you think there's nothing left, there's something left. And there's a chavivus. There's not only a chavivus in what you eat, but there's also a chavivus in what you discard. And one of the more common ways that we properly discard, first of all, let's say you clothes that you no longer use. You had Shabbos clothes, weekday clothes. There were many people who discard their clothing in a very bakavadik way. But even challahs, for example, you know, there's such a minhag not to throw challah away. It wasn't don't throw challah away. So obviously you can throw challah away, but to throw challah away in a more bakavadik way. So you put it in a bag, a sakiyot, and then you then put it in the garbage. Much like if you have to throw away, let's say, a lulav. So we put them on top of the Aron Kodesh. We burn it with the Sreifas HaChametz. But suffice it to say that if you're throwing away, for example, lechem, challahs, so you do it in a bakavadik way. So why? Because it's chavivas hamitzvahs. We use the challah to open the challahs to use them for Suda Shabbos. So therefore, I'm not gonna throw them away. You have your little tzitzis that falls off the beged. So the one tzitzis, what are you gonna do with that? Chavivas hamitzvahs means I'm not gonna throw it away. I'm not gonna put it in Shemus. I'm gonna use it as a bookmark in a sefer. Just different examples of chavivas. So it happens to me that this fellow, he's leaving his house and he's going to kiss the mezuzah like he usually does, and he has gila. To his astonishment, he realizes that the mezuzah is gone. Now, what's gone? Now, the mezuzah, obviously, we all know that the mezuzah is not the case. The mezuzah is the parchment, is the klav. So in Eretz Yisrael, where there's oftentimes, obviously, there's cases, but oftentimes, certainly when you walk, if you see in the old city, they've just parchment. Many times you have houses that just have the parchments. He realized to his astonishment that the mezuzah was nignava, was stolen. When his topic, ma'olav la'asos, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. So on the one hand, Aim at least palo bitzibor velikras kirishma yacharkach laleches liknos mezuzah. Should he first go to shul? Should he daven? Right? And then after his davening, he's going to then go and get a mezuzah. Now, obviously, it seems as if it's not even a shaila if the opportunity to get a mezuzah is dependent on the store being open. And if the store is not open because he's davening vasikin, so then obviously then he has no choice. Ain brera, that it's not a shaila. It's only a shaila when obviously as the cholis, he has the possibility, has the ability to get another mezuzah, whether from the shemus, from a shop that he knows that's open. So he just wants to understand, is it better for him? What's adif? What's considered primary? What's first and foremost? That he should daven betzibor and he should say the shema and he should daven shema esrei. And only after that, he should go buy a mezuzah. Oh, or yikne mezuzah and he should put it up and he should be called, he should we should put it up. You know what's going to happen? Maybe he's going out of the chapes, he's going to look for and to purchase or to find a mezuzah. And while he's out doing a mezuzah search, he's going to miss tefillah b'tzibur. And he's going to have to daven b'yichidus. What's important? And he's going to daven b'li minyan, b'li kivatik, and he's going to miss vasikin, and he's actually maybe going to miss minyan. And obviously there's different parts of that. Is it that he's going to miss the mitzvah min ha-muvchar vasikin? That's one ask. A second ask would be, what if he's going to miss tefillah b'tzibur altogether? Does it change? You know, okay, so he's not going to do it the best way. We all daven the not best way. If shachar starts at 6:45, right, or 8:30, it means that it's not the best way. If we have a vasikin minyan, that's the best way. So the question, of course, then becomes, is he, what's called oseg b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah? And does it apply in this case? Is oseg min ha-mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah mean that he got up, he got dressed, he opened the door, he was walking to his car, and as he was walking out the door, so he was already in the energy, the force was already in the pull towards getting towards the shul to daven, so therefore he's oseg b'mitzvah. When does it become the oseg in a mitzvah? I was having a conversation, I was at a wedding last night, and we were talking about kashrus organizations. We just started a stronghold, Vad HaRabbanim here in Boca Raton. And the question, of course, like what falls under the Vad? Obviously, always very complicated. So I was talking with a bunch of Rabbanim that were together with me at the wedding. And the question is that we were discussing this. There's something called Capital. There's two Vad HaKashrus organizations in the Washington, Baltimore area. Okay. And for some reason, you know, it was kosher. One of the symbols was one of the kashrus organizations was kosher in one location and wasn't kosher in another location, which can happen. So the Rabbanim were arguing in that location, not in this wedding last night. They're arguing at what point on the Beltway did it become that for some reason the kashrus organization, it's good over here and it's not good over there. Like what? Did something happen on the Beltway that we need to know about? And the answer is that, okay, what's considered that force? At what point are you osik in a mitzvah? Is that you have in mind to do the mitzvah? We have many times we have a mindlessness. We're mindful to do something and then we get distracted. So is it that you have that intention? Or is it that, you know, you have to actually be engaged in it? So good that I'm driving to shul. What happens if I'm driving to shul and I see that I'm running low on gas. I'm going to go turn my attention to filling up with gas. Now, obviously, it's a different example. But maybe there are things that are going to be not considered that I'm osek in a mitzvah. At what point am I potter from a mitzvah? Good. That's number one. And number two is, okay, so like what's the idea? Is it that I noticed it? The mezuzah is missing. Maybe I have an obligation to go and do this mezuzah, even if, let's just say, we have the concept of osik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Does that come at the peril of being able to do the mitzvah at all? And the answer, that's what it might mean, is osik mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah means that you're exempt, even if it means that you're never going to be able to do it. But what's understood from this case is that it's not that, it doesn't mean that you're never going to be able to do it. It means you're going to be able to do it. But what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to daven. You're not going to be daven necessarily with a minyan, and you're certainly not going to be able to daven vasikin. So if you're not going to be able to daven vasikin, and maybe you're not going to daven with a minyan, but you'll be able to daven, or maybe you'll daven something. So what's the mitzvah of tefillah? So sometimes we get very, I was talking to a noted psychologist last week also, Vad HaRabbanim related, about a case we're dealing with, and he said something which is fascinating, is that sometimes people in their Hergelus, in the regulus of doing things on a regular basis. Say people have their schedules. I don't know about you, but like when I travel and I go off my schedule, I feel very unsettled. I have like my set things that I do every day and the set times as best I can. Obviously, there's an emergency room doctor component of what I do. But at the end of the day, there's certain regulus. He said there's something very crippling for some people about their schedule, which means they could lose, you know, the sight of what's the forest for the trees, you know, analogy. They can lose sight of the big picture of what they're supposed to be doing because they're so busy doing what they think they're supposed to be doing. They like miss what the most important thing is. So a person will say that, no, I'm going to miss davening. Maybe you're not going to miss davening. What is the mitzvah of tefillah? The mitzvah of tefillah is to daven. Now, when does that mitzvah of tefillah happen? It can happen in many different ways and actually any time. You're able to daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu anytime, in any way. Which is why the exemption of mitzvahs that are positive and time bound, women are exempt. Women are not exempt from the mitzvah of tefillah because it's not time bound. You can daven at any time. Now there are very specific times of davening for specific tefillos. There's a sosma tefillah, sosma kriyashma. Those are mechanics. But there's like the concept of davening of tefillah, and then there's the concept of specific tefillos and specific times, which is related. The Gemara Bracha says is related to the karbonos, is related to the offerings. So therefore, if it's related to the offerings, over carbon, over the zman of tefillah, if the time for karbon has passed, then the time for tefillah has passed as well. Okay, so I know we threw out a lot of stuff here. Any questions, comments?
So the question is being framed as how is this individual's actions impact him. I would ask, if he goes searching for mezuzah and doesn't go to down the seaboard, what if there's a small minion? What if he's the 10th person to make a minion? His actions then impact the other people.
Right. Good question.
It's not being addressed in the question.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely not being addressed in the question. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that's part of why it doesn't, it's not addressed, is that, I guess if you live in a small town and, because there was another question that we studied recently was, imagine let's say there's a kollel, and the kollel is learning in the morning learning session, the first Seder. And then, it's the winter time, and the kollel, nine of the men, let's say there's 10 men, and nine of them want to daven mincha. right after the first learning session, because they could have a mincha gedola. And the 10th guy, he doesn't want to. It's his off time. He wants to go do what he wants to do. Is he obligated to do it? Because after all, without him, there's no minyan. Like, at what point does a person be obligated even to do something that you don't want to do? Or be obligated to do something that you, that even though you're obligated in something else, that something else is secondary to what the other thing is, if it includes other people. And so therefore it includes other people might not have a minyan. Who's maybe that's not anybody else's responsibility. I would add a second part of that question, which is also, you know, a good thought-provoking direction, which is, does a person have to know that they can secure the purchase or the finding of the mezuzah to even begin the process of engaging, you know, in that avenue? Which means, what if he doesn't know that he can get it? What does osek ben a mitzvah mean? What if I'm osek in the midst of trying to get a mezuzah? Does that mean I know for sure I can get it? I just have to go to the store. I know that he's there. I know that there's klaf, and I have some money in my pocket. Or I know there's a Sheamus. I know there's a geniza. I'm able to go there and get it. What if I can't? And what if I'm not successful? What if I get there and the shop's closed, or the guy's out of town, or he doesn't have the schayra? I don't like what he has. I forgot my wallet at home. And therefore, because of the fact that I can't actually do it, so was I not putter from the mitzvah? Is it being osek in a mitzvah dependent on me actually doing the mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? Is it a hechsher mitzvah or is it an actual mitzvah? When a person, for example, what's the classic example of being osik in a mitzvah, patur in a mitzvah? There's a lot of examples. Well, the classic example that's mentioned is a person's involved in a mace mitzvah, right? You're doing shmira, you're doing a tahara, right? You're involved in the tzarchei hamace. So if you're doing shmira, for example, if you're a shomer, if you're a guardsman, guardswoman, you're watching a mace, you're putter. You know, yeah, what are you supposed to do? You have to watch the, make sure the mate, right? That's the classic example. But you're osik in a mitzvah. You're doing something. It means if you get up, there's a problem. You have to be there and you have to watch and you have to be there present to make sure that nothing is done with the mace that shouldn't be done, right? So here, so it's not only number one, what's not being addressed is what's happening to the rest of the people. And the people might not have a minion, maybe or maybe not. Seems that that might not be a consideration. And number two is, the fact that he's going to look for a mezuzah might not necessarily result in him getting a mezuzah. And if he can't get a mezuzah, so then how, you know, how is that ever allowed that he should be under the rubric of osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah? And I would just say, at first look, is that it's not so much about lo alecha hamalacha ligmor, right? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says it's not for you to complete the task, it's just that we have to engage in the process of achieving the. Now, obviously, if he's going to walk around aimlessly in an area where, you know, we have a concept, ain't saying it has to be that there's a possibility he's not going to walk and say, oh, I have to go find the mezuzah, I have to write a mezuzah, I have to find a scribe, find the sofer. Ain't saying it has to be, number one. And number two, it seems that the minion, okay, first of all, we also understand, what's mezuzah? Is mezuzah daraisa? Is minion darabanan? We have to get into the category of just like then ranking what things are done, right? That's where things get a little bit choosy and interesting. But interesting point. Let's see. I think actually part of one of the excerpts of the response. So we'll see if there's some help we can have on both those points. Anybody else? I think I set a hand up. No. Okay. All right. So far, so good. Pecking order. Vasikin, davening, tefillah b'tzibur, going to get a mezuzah. Just one example of so many where we see we're presented with opportunities to do and to pick and to choose. And which one do we do? So here he says in the response to the following. So yikne mezuzah, what should be, the person should buy a mezuzah, v'kavana, and you should set it up, and you should put it in place. V'achar kach yikre kriyashma v'ispala. He says that the first things you should do is once you notice it, so therefore that's what you should do. In spite, lemoros sha'al yidei kach, even though that because of that, yafsid tefila b'tzivor. Even though that he has a result of doing that, he's going to lose tefillah b'tzibur. I mean, it's understood that he's already going to miss the mitzvah min ha-muchar v'asikin. But it seems as what's going to be is he's going to be yafsid tefillah b'tzibur. He's going to miss tefillah b'tzibur. V'zos mishnei ta'amim. And he explains the reason why this is the case is because there's two reasons that he'll tell us that we're going to learn why, in fact, he should put the mezuzah up first. And after he should daven, and it means he's going to daven b'yichidus, he's going to daven alone. So number one, Aleph, mezuzahi, it's a mitzvah asay. It's a positive commandment. Shemekayimim b'chol rega v'rega. Now, by the way, you have different mitzvos that are able to be fulfilled every minute. Every minute. I mean, there's some that are what we call one and done, or in the moment, or seasonal, right? You blow the shofar, you did it, you're done. You shake a lulav and eser, dalav minim, you did it, you're done. You said in the sukkah, you're done. The mezuzah is a mitzvah that's done every moment that it exists, right? Either it's on and it's a perpetual. Now, we don't really know what that means in the world of like elongation of the fulfillment of a mitzvah. We know also like there's something called the Shesh Mitzvos Tmidios. You ever the Shesh Mitzvos Tmidios? Shesh Mitzvos Tmidios means that there's six constant mitzvos. There's six constant mitzvos that are not limited by time or space. And we actually are supposed to say them every single day. We're supposed to engage them every day. What are the six constant mitzvahs? So one of them is to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you think of one of the six, I mean, it's a topic, it's a shir in and of itself, fascinating to go through it. But what the commentaries teach is the Mefarshim explain that when you think about these mitzvahs and you are able to be in a mindfulness of what these mitzvahs mean, for example, Avas Hashem is one of them, Yiras Hashem is another of them, but so just even having a hakara of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world, a remembrance and an understanding and a realization of God's presence in the world, that means plink, 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 kol rega that you're thinking that, it's a mitzvah, 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 mitzvah. It's a spiritual deposit into your spiritual bank account, kol zman, every moment that you're thinking about it, rega, 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 that you're thinking about it. Now, people can't be necessarily on that level. That's number one. But number two, what does it mean there's a mitzvah that's rega every minute? As he says, that the first reason is you should know that the reason why v'lachein odif sheyikna miyad mezuzah v'ikayim kol rega mitzvah aseh shel mezuzah, that you should know that when you're going to find and you're going to procure, you're going to purchase, you're going to be able to affix a mezuzah, l'moros sheyaseh tefilas b'tzibur kivasikim, because you have something that's you're davening, it's going to be here and gone. You're going to have a mezuzah that's here every single minute. And therefore, that's the first reason. It has a certain adifus, it has a certain trump necessity of its regular that's more important than even the thing that's even momentary, even if it's going to be passed and even if it's going to be lost. That's number one. Anybody know another example of where we see there's something called rega, verega, verega, besides the sheish mitzvahs tamidios? Like if you think about Avas Hashem, or you think about Yiras Hashem, or you think about Anochi Hashem Lekecha Shetzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, and you're doing that every day, every day, every minute, every minute, every minute, mitzvahs, 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 mitzvahs. It's better probably to think about those than to wander in thoughtlessness and mindlessness throughout the course of the day. But I'll give you another example. First of all, that's in the world of positive. I like to think only about positive things, right? Positive fulfillments. You know, for example, like let's say a person doesn't do a mitzvah saseh. Is that an avera? Is it an avera not to do a mitzvah saseh? So it's a plukta in the Rishonim. It's a discussion. It's a machlokes in the Rishonim. Some learn that if you do not do a positive mitzvah, then you will have an avera. We're going to see what the root of that is and the choice, you know, the source of that is. Others say you don't have an avera. You have just a missed opportunity. It's a very big difference. Okay, you missed an opportunity. We missed lots of opportunities in our lives. Okay, we have to grow from those missed opportunities, but there's a very big difference. One, if you're a Kiruv rabbi, if you're trying to inspire the people, say, okay, you'll get it next time. If you have an avera, that's a stain, then we got to find some Clorox bleach and we got to eradicate that stain and we got to the sore may run and the asay tov. It's like not such a simple process. It's a little bit of a different game. But what's another example of that rega, 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 every minute, every minute, every minute, every minute in the world of mitzvahs asay? So I'll give you a clue. So machlokis, whether or not, what's better in the world of zrizim magdimu l'mitzvos, or Barov Am Hadras Melech. That's a clue. What mitzvah would it be? What's that mean? That sounds like a lot of mumbo jumbo. Mumbo jumbo means what's more important in a certain mitzvah or many mitzvahs. Zrizim Magdima mitzvahs means I want to do it with alacrity. I want to do it at the first moment that I have a chance to do it. Like Avram Avinu was Vayash came Avram Baboker, Avram Avinu, Abraham got up very early in the morning to go to do the Akedah, to do the mitzvahs Hashem. Vayash came out from a boker. I know that if I wait too long, I'm not going to do it, right? Zriza Magdimah Mitzvahs versus, okay, that's a nice thing. I want to get up early in the morning. But there's also another concept called Barov Am Hadras Melech, that in the multitude, in the masses, do I do the mitzvahs because it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, right? More people that see it, the more people that do it, the more people that are involved in it. Look how much more glory I bring to God's name in this world. It's great. So what's the machlokes? A lot of different examples. One classic example is Bris Mila. Person has a son and it's a mazel tov. So you want to ask the following question, which invariably gets asked to me almost every time that somebody has a baby. Here's the story. Zriza magdim la mitzvos, really should, you know, do the mitzvah of bris milah as early as possible when it's the mitzvah of the day, of the eighth day of the baby's birth, right? So that's the mitzvah. That's what it is. Kasha et siva elukim, just like God commanded. Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, Shmuel, the first ones to get bris kodesh. So zriza magdim la mitzvahs means bris should be at vasikin, bris should be early. Okay, that's a nice thing. But I have cousins and I have friends and I have relatives. So if we make the bris at 12 o'clock, so there's going to be a big crowd. And if there's going to be a big crowd, you know, then it's a greater Kiddush Hashem. So what's better? Zriza magdim la mitzvahs or Barovam Hadras Melech? What would you say? So the answer is Zriza magdim la mitzvahs. And one of the reasons why that's true is there's two sources. Number one is Vayashkem Avram Baboker. We want to model after the behavior of Avram Avinu, quintessential to the sense for which we fulfill mitzvahs in general, bichlal, but certainly bifrat in particular, the mitzvah of bris kodesh for which he was commanded, to which with alacrity he jumped to do it. That's number one. But there's a second reason. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches, of course we know this is brought down in a number of Gemaras, but the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos and the Gemara Maseches Kedushin, so the Gemara says about the mitzvah of bris kodesh, the mitzvah of milah. So there's a Mordechai, there's a Mordechai who's echad meha perushim on the Gemara, one of the commentaries on the Gemara, who says, you want to know why Zriza Magdimah mitzvah is more important than Barov Am Hadras Melech, even though Barov Am Hadras Melech, the multitude, the more people that gather, it's certainly very nice. And if a person chooses to do that, it's not an aveira to do that. Let's just be clear, because I've been to many bris where it was later in the day, and it is what it is. But the Mordechai writes, you know why? The reason Magdim Lemitzvah is so important, because every minute that the child lives on the eighth day without having bris kodesh, he's mevatla a mitzvah saseh daraisa. Kol rega, he uses the lashon of kol rega v'rega. Then imagine the difference between 6 a.m. and 12 p.m., the difference between Zriza Magdim Mitzvahs and Barova Amadras Melech, those 6 hours, whether you say adva ad bechlal, adva lo ad bechlal, up until and including, up until not including, those 6 hours, imagine 6 hours of 60 minutes, right? And there's 60 seconds, and kol rega v'rega. If there's being mevatel and a sey daraisa, so is that again a missed opportunity, or is that an avera? And that's the nekudas amachlokas, whether or not, and that's why we just paskin la halachas reason like the mitzvos. And that sugya is brought specifically in the Gemara Maseches Kedushin Daf Chavtes. Who's obligated in the mitzvah of bris milah? Like, whose chiyuv is it? At the end of the day, it's the human being, it's the male's obligation, but not initially. The initial obligation is on the father. It's the father's obligation. So if the father has an obligation, so he wants to know that who's going to be held responsible if the bris is between 6 and 12. So if there's an aveira, there's a bitul asay, so nobody wants to be involved in a bitul asay. So therefore, even if it means you have just a minyan, and the minyan is going to be the ones who are going to be able to do it, so good. You don't want the child to be in a status of being mevatel asay on his, not just on him, on his body, but also the father, the parent, the bezdin, and the different categories for whom the obligation would fall. Okay? But it's just a fascinating idea where we see the concept of kol rega v'rega, every minute that the mezuzah is up. Now, is it echad me'a shisha? Is it one of the 6 mitzvahs to me? The answer is not. It's not. It's what the mezuzah represents is echad, one of the 6 concept mitzvahs, which is anochi Hashem lekecha shehotzei sicha me'aretz Mitzrayim, which is why people kiss the mezuzah. The reason why I kiss the mezuzah is because of what's written therein, because of what it represents. Ulatotafos bein einecha the tefillin, that's between your eyes. Uchsavtam, you'll write it on your hands. So we bind the tefillin on our hand and on our eyes. But of course, we also know, we see that the pasuk tells us that it should be sharecha, that the mezuzah should be on your gate. So it's on my gates. I'm fulfilling that mitzvah. Kol rega v'rega. So that's the first answer that he explains, that the mitzvah of which is a mitzvah saseh, which is a positive commandment, which is not limited by time, because it's kol rega v'rega, every single day, every single month, of every single week, of every single year. So therefore, even if it is you're going to be mevatel, even if it means that you're not going to daven at all. So here he's just assuming you're going to daven at some point, right? Forget about Vasika, that's out the window. It's Tefillah B'Tzipor out the window. But even, maybe it would seem, even if it took you an entire day to get the mezuzah, you'd still be putter from the mitzvah of tefillah, right? If a person's a shomer, I don't know if anybody's ever had an opportunity to be a shomer. But if you're a shomer, for example, you're dealing with a meis mitzvah, and it turns out that you just weren't able to daven that whole day. There are times that you're osik in a mitzvah, you're just potter from mitzvah, so you're not able to do anything. It's that you're not able to do it. It's not the pshat that you didn't do it. It's that you weren't obligated to do it. I tell this to a lot of people that, for example, on Yom Kippur, right? Somebody, for example, has a medical reason why they can't fast on Yom Kippur. So I have to walk the trained person who feels that, for example, and obviously you have to be sensitive and careful about this, and sometimes we're a little bit too cavalier with these things. But for example, everybody knows that eating on Yom Kippur is an Isser Kares. Nobody wants to be cavalier about that. But there are many people, for medical reasons, they have an obligation to eat, right? You have an obligation to take care of your body. So therefore, it's not that you're doing an aveir, you're doing a mitzvah. You're eating on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah. Who made it such that you had to do that? So you have to do it. Person has a reason to do it. So it's your chiv, it's your obligation. So I've had many times, many conversations where I'm trying to remind people of their obligation. I had a conversation a couple of years ago of a person who had to eat on Yom Kippur and whether or not they have a chiyuv to make kiddush on Yom Kippur, because after all, it's Yom Tif. So the answer, according to Psak Halacha, is that they did. They said, Rabbi, making kiddush on Yom Kippur is like the most awkward, uncomfortable, bizarre thing in the entire world. I said, you have a big schus. Actually, you have a schus that nobody else has. Some people are mekadosh the yom, right? Okay, you're no different. Part of you, the chaper eschem letar eschem, is the mitzvah Hashem. Why is one mitzvah lessened? That's your mitzvah. And if that's your mitzvah, do it with hislavos, do it with a sense of purpose. But it's not so simple. So this is reason number one. Questions, comments, concerns? Nice. Mitzvah number two, reason number two. So reason number two is interesting. Says the following: Nemar bebrachos. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, Daf Yudalad Amud Beis, Folio 14, page 2. Kol hakorei kriyishma below tefillin. We know that the Gemara says, if let's say a person says kriyishma, but they're not wearing their tefillin, so the Gemara says ki ilu meyid edu sheker beatzmo. He is testifying falsely because he's saying about that which is written in the tefillin, in the parshios, in the parchment that sits inside your tefillin, the language, the nusach, the tefillah that's written therein, verses from the Chumash. I'm saying it, but I'm not living what I'm saying. It's like, do as I say, but not as I do. So I'm saying it. So therefore, the Gemara says, Kilu made edu sheker batzmo. I'm saying something that should be, but I'm not doing it. So he says, venire, it seems, maybe it is that a person who says kriyishma, and that person does not have a mezuzah, b'li mezuzah, haray who made edus sheker b'atzma, he's testifying against himself. He's his own prosecutor, right? Because we, of course, know that a person is supposed to have the mezuzah on your doorpost. A person is supposed to have mezuzah on his sharecha. So if it's not on a sharecha, even though we know it's also a dispute, do you put a mezuzah on a shul? Is that a makom? Is that a place you put a mezuzah? Okay, in the Beis Hamikdash, they have mezuzahs on the Beis Hamikdash. Also, machlokes, some say you do, many we do. Of course, on the outside you do. Do you do it into the Beis HaKnesses? Do you need a mezuzah in a shul? Not for right now. But what we understand is, irrespective of the place that he's davening, is that it's your home, in your house. If you don't have a mezuzah and you're davening and you're saying kriyishma, even with tefillin, maybe because of the fact of the matter that you don't have a mezuzah on your doorpost, is also meyed sheker. Just like it would be that if you daven without tefillin, you're meyed sheker be'atzmo, so too, maybe it would mean, the Gemara wonders, we can say, venira dehu adin, this might also apply, kari kriyishma, believe mezuzah, harehu meyed sheker. Be'atzmo also seems that way. So therefore, that might be a problem. So therefore, so he says, just as a side point here, he says, look, if the Mishnah Berurah comments, quoting the Sefer Charedim, the Mizeh, from this we learn, Nilmad Kisha Oimer V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha in the Kriyashma, so Yira Lahachnis Avas Hashem Yisbarach Belibo. Means, the concept of overlast Yosem, you make a bracha, you do the mitzvah. You make bari pre'eitz, you crunch the apple. So if I say, v'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, I love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, so I have to really think about what that means. I have to feel that in my heart. And if I don't, then I've said something with my lips that I don't feel in my heart. Like, what good is that? In fact, that might be actually worse. If somebody says, I love you, but you know they don't really mean it, that I love you, so you're saying words, you're just throwing trash at me. Throw me, give me something that you're really feeling. So shaloyeh, so that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. Shaloyeh, kedaver sheker chas v'shalom. It's not that I'm speaking words, v'avtas Hashem lokecha. Yeah? Really? You feel that? Like, it's not just like the recitation of words. The recitation of words is nice if it's followed up with a deed. And part of the follow-up of the deed is like, do you really do it? Right? We know there are tons of people that they say one thing and they do another thing. They come to shul, they shuckle, and then they're dishonest in business. Like, that doesn't work. So maybe, just like that doesn't work, maybe if I'm saying Kriya Shema, just like if I say Kriya Shema, that might fill in. So it's made Sheker La'atma. He's testifying falsely against his own prosecutor. So maybe what that also, Luhu Adin, can also mean that if I don't have a mezuzah on my doorpost, so therefore it's a problem. And so therefore, if that's true, V'im Kein, Ulai Hu Adin, B'mezuzah. And therefore we see a second reason that he has to go and try to get a mezuzah. We didn't yet discuss whether or not there's other people. So it seems that even the fact that there are other people that would rely on him being the 10th, which, by the way, we know that this must be true because the Mishnah Berurah says that everybody should see themselves as the 10th always. So if you see yourself as the 10th and you're still allowed to do this, it means that if that would assume that there's even not a minion, okay, so you're Osig B'mitzvah, Patur B'mitzvah, what do you want? Like, what should I do? There are circumstances which exempt from mitzvah, and I don't have to take attendance to see that I'm number 10. You're supposed to think of yourself as number 10, which is what gets us out of bed in the morning. That's number one. And so it seems that maybe even unless you knew for sure there was really a good chance you're not going to get the mezuzah, I don't know if that, maybe I don't have a good hachra on that. But at the end of the day, assuming you can get the mezuzah, that's what it should be. Okay. Now he has actually in the footnotes here, which I didn't put on the source sheets by mistake, he says that what would we do in such a situation where, let's just say, part of what's mentioned in the Kriya Shema, Vishinantam Livanecha. So Vishinantam Livanecha Vidibarta Bam. So that obligation is that we teach our children Torah or we provide them a Torah education. So what happens? There's lots of things we say. So if we say Vishinantam Livanecha, and we don't provide that, is that any different than saying bisharecha, that I should put a mezuzos al beisecha uvi sharecha, and not having a mezuzah on my beisecha or my uvi sharecha? Like, maybe I have that obligation. So if I don't, do I not say the Shema? And if I do say the Shema, is it edus sheker la'atzmo? Okay, that's a side point. Okay, but we see, and with regard to the Oseg mitzvah, pater mina mitzvah, im kein, so if that's true, it should maybe come out that he gets up in the morning, the hischel aleches letfili, says in the footnotes, that it would all be dependent on what he was doing. If he's already out the door and he's already had the tefillah harei, who Oseg mitzvah, tefillah kriya shema v'kiddush Hashem, umameila pater mina mezuzah. He does explain, meaning the conversation we've had thus far is assuming that he hasn't done anything yet. And if he hasn't done anything yet, the reason why one has kadima, one has preference, one has first choice versus a second choice is because of the mitzvah saseh daraisa, because you don't want to be mevatel that. We want to make sure that that's done. We want to make sure that that's first and foremost because of rega, of a rega, of a rega, number one. And number two is because we don't want it to be a situation where he's going to go then to shul, and he's going to go to shul, and he's going to talk about Kriya Shema, beisecho, visharecha, and he's not going to have it. What kind of person is that? The Gemara Bracha says. That person say that about his filling, and you say the sheker, that's a problem. But that's all assuming he hasn't walked out the door. Once he's walked out the door, that's explained. If he's v'hischil aleches letfila, which means that's where we will end this, where we start, which is oseg b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, that you're engaged in a mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah, even though that ideally both things set before you, you choose mezuzah over tefillah. It doesn't matter. Even the fact that tefillah with tefillah b'tzibor with a minion is derabanan and mezuzah is deraisa, osik b'mitzvah, patur min mitzvah doesn't calculate, oh, what mitzvah are we talking about? That's schar, that's onesh, that's different things with regard to reward and punishment. But suffice it to say, he explains in hischil aleches l'tefillah, and I don't know if that means that you've done that already in your house. I don't know if that means you've left your house. I'm not sure about the utter nuance in that. Well, let's assume that leleches means literally you've left your house, you're on your way to davening, and you realize, was there a mezuzah on that door? Or was there something missing there? And I go back. Nope. So that would mean, so Rehu already in that case, he's oseg b'mitzvah tefillah. He's oseg b'mitzvah kriyashma. He's oseg b'mitzvah kiddush Hashem, because that's part of what doing the mitzvahs are. And memela is potter. And therefore, he's potter from mezuzah. And therefore, what's right? V'itachin sh'tzoydik the potter from mezuzah, and therefore he's potter from mezuzah. And therefore, let's assume a guy was davening all day. Let's say he was doing another mitzvah that was all day. Then he'd be potter from mezuzah all that while. The only reason why he becomes then obligated in mitzvah in that case is because tefillah ends. And the second davening ends. And his obligation now is to quickly run, not to the bagel shop, not to Starbucks, but to go right to the swarm store, the mezuzah shop, and to buy a mezuzah. And that's what he has to do to make sure that that order of operations is what it is. Okay? Questions? A lot of different concepts here, a lot of different ideas. What do you think? Is it clear? Let's see if I had one more point here. He just adds like another point, which is, let's just say a person was potter from a mitzvah, and then you go to that mitzvah. So for example, let's say you're potter from the mitzvah of tefillin, because you are in the mitzvah of tefillah, because you're osek in a mace mitzvah. And now it's time for you to, now you have to daven. It's not the day is not over. It's not the end of the day completely yet. You still daven. So when you put your tefillin on, you have to say Kriya Shema. Many people don't remember that. And one of the examples of time when that happens, because again, the Gemara says that if you wear your tefillin without Kriya Shema, so it's Edus Sheker, it's testifying falsely against yourself, prosecuting against yourself is a big problem. So that means if you're osik in a mitzvah, you're putter from a mitzvah, that's fine. But now that it's not the end of the day is not over, right? They take the body; he's already going to funeral, right? To the base kfaros, to the cemetery to be buried. So now your shmirah is now, your shift of shmirah is over. So now you're obligated, but it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I already davened. Maybe I was able to say shema at some point, but I wasn't able to put my tefillin on. Maybe I wasn't able to daven at all. I put my tefillin on. What do I daven? What do I do? At the very least, so I put my tefillin on. That's a mitzvah. And at the very, very least, I have to say Kriya Shema without the Birchas Kriya Shema. But I say the Gimel Parshas, the 3 paragraphs of the Shema. Why? Because of this Gemara Brachos. Because the Gemara says, "Hey, the Sheker." If you wear tefillin, the Sheker. But when? Here's a good little trivia question. When is it that this idea, this concept, is very much in fruition for sure? Once a year, at least. For sure, once a year for every male, when you have this obligation to remind yourself to say the Kriya Shema when you're putting on your tefillin later in the day, because of, after all, maybe you're putting on your tefillin. And in this case, that's the trivia question is, in that case, you've already said the Shema. So maybe a person is going to be doubly downed. Number one, not thinking, okay, the mitzvah is putting my tefillin on. I don't have to say the Shema because I already said the Shema. But the answer is, you always have to say the Shema. There's an extra piece of Linda candy for even the adults. Linda, if that's okay with you, if anybody gets this. Anybody? Got it?
Go ahead.
So the answer to that question is on Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av, we do not wear our tefillin, our talus, in the morning. Because it's the heat, the intensity, and the hot part of our morning is in the morning. We don't wear our talus and tefillin. We wear a tefillin after Chatzos Hayom, right? After Mincha Gedola. So usually either there's an early Mincha and we daven, we put our tefillin on. Or most of the time, most of us, we daven later in the day because we daven Mincha and Ma'ariv together and you put your tefillin on 7 o'clock. When you put your tefillin on 7 o'clock, trust me, most people are not thinking about the Kriya Shema. But I oftentimes make the reminder, public announcement, PSA, public service announcement, everybody has to say the Gimel Parshas of the Shema. I always come a few minutes early to say the Shema. Why? Because you can't put your tefillin on without saying the Shema. And even though you said Shema earlier, that's not bound by time, because the Shema is, you're going to say the Shema, and there's something called the Shema Bizmano, and even the Shema can be recited even not in its right time. It's schar, it's reward for saying it even not in its right time, because it's Talmud Torah, it's Keneged Kulam, it's the Gemara that says you want to make sure you're not to testify against yourself. Shalom Aleichem. So you got a lot of little trivia questions. There's going to be a test on every single thing we just learned here in about an hour's time. So be ready. Just kidding. Okay, Carol, go ahead. Go for it.
Yeah, so I just have a question. I understand it's not a favor, but when you were talking about a bris and you said, so it's best to do it as early in the day as you can. But, you know, even the Moel has his obligations and cannot make it. So then what if you have a family that's like, oh, we really want in the morning, but sometimes it can't work out the way you want. So that's life, huh?
It sounds like you have bris milah on your mind.
Yeah, right. No, we have a morning one, everybody, but
yes. And a big mazel tov to you and to Jay and to the entire family, yeah. For all of us. You're right. Listen, there are definitely things, extenuating circumstances. All we have to do is make every effort and do anything we can to make sure it's as early as possible. But sure, if a moel, sometimes, you know, the first call is the moel, because you want to make sure many times the moel has sometimes multiple brisin. He's not able to make the first minyan, he's able to make the second minyan. So does that mean I should get another moel? The answer is you don't have to get another moel if you're worried that the compromise of the expertise of the moel is going to be something you're just not comfortable with. If two moelim were equally the same and you could daven earlier versus later, then you would choose to get the earlier moel if you can. But again, we're talking about, you know, I would say the example is really the extremes of early in the morning. You know, the morning minyan is basically like what's called vayashkim avram b'bokar. I'm not saying you have to like go out of your way, you know, to do it earlier. Obviously, if you can, good. But I'm talking about the difference between, you know, unfortunately, many have asked, like, okay, it's a Thursday morning bris. Our family works. Let's say a family that's not as religious. Let's do Sunday brunch bris. So let's say you could have a Sunday brunch and celebrate the bris, but the bris has to happen on Thursday because, like, that's when the bris is. That's the eighth day. Sadly, sometimes people want to wait because, okay, at least it's as long as it's not before the eighth day. No, it has to be on the eighth day. It's only after the eighth day, but nidcha for whatever the reason. Fine. But no, you're good. Assuming, right, your moel is going to come when he is able to come, and you're fine. I would assume, and I know the moelim that I sent to Dr. J are moelim that are really not only reliable, mumchen in their fields, but also understand the concept of zvizim magdim l'mitzvah, so they're going to come as early as they can. I guess I'll share a little personal, you know, anecdotal thought here, which is there's other factors here. I remember, you know, for example, a simcha, whether it's a wedding or a bris, and this is the minhag Yerushalayim. You know, Carol, don't get nervous about this. It's the minhag Yerushalayim. As a sudas mitzvah is really, according to the Rambam, is supposed to be fleishiks, right? Ela babasar v'yayin. So in Yerushalayim, the early bird minion that has a bris at it, they're serving fleishiks. There's a chalent. There's some hoish. There's some meat. There's some this. So I remember when I was living in Yerushalayim and my little Shimshon Yechiel was born. My parents flew from, my in-laws flew, everybody flew from the United States of America to Eretz Yisrael. And I kind of dropped a little hint to my father that it's going to be fleishiks. My father said, it's a nice minig. It's not happening. So I said, okay. He was very clear. So where, let's just say, I say, Abba, there's going to be a 9 o'clock, you know, there's a 6 o'clock minion. And Abba says, nice 6 o'clock minion. There's not going to be a bris there. I'm not going to be there. You're not going to be there. Baby's not going to be there. So where does kibud alva aim fall into that? One's a deraisa, one's a mitzvah min a mubchar, as we've spoken about many times. We have to really try to, you know, do the best we can with what we have. So, you know, and I remember telling some of my chaverim in Yerushalayim, you know, you all know the Carvel ice cream chol story. But I have other stories. And I remember I told my chaver in Yerushalayim, where everybody was making brisin that were fleishiks. Everyone's very excited to see what the gibbers are going to choose for fleishiks. I said, let me tell you, we're choosing for fleishiks. We're going to have blintzes that are cheesy. We're going to have omelet. We're going to have eggs. And it's going to be a milchik. They're like, what? What's going to be? I said, hinini muchan muzumin l'kayim mitzvah saseh d'oraisa shel kibud av. And I bet you, every single one of you are going to fress like you've never fressed before. You're going to be good. It's going to work out just fine. And I was right. They had bagels and cheese, and it was good. I said, "You go for fleishiks. You go for lunch." It was all good. It was fine. You're good. You're in the world of zrizim magdim mitzvahs vayashkem avram baboka. It's going to be an early morning, beautiful bris on Wednesday morning. Haba aleinu letova, and we look forward to sharing with you and your family many, many simchas for many years.
Amen.
All right, we're at the top of the hour, and as much as I have a tremendous taiva to learn with you all through Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to let you go. Have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. Zoom room in person.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for coming.